I play that can be very earthy and acoustic, and then also very kind of electronic or experimental, which is actually how I first learned about WGXC. Just had a lot of instruments around, so it's really fun to pick up and play the guitar, which became, yeah,
hold,
like a real
singing,
passion for me.
Claps.
The music
singing
I'm playing these
good.
Days
well,
is primarily based on the Rudolf Steiner.
Hi, this is Somi, and you're
scale.
Listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM,
you know, so
hands-on creative community radio
music
for Greene and Columbia County.
Is all I brought to
name Patty Boom
elements to that as well.
Host of Vinyl Freedom.
There,
where,
you know, there's like a duality.
WGXC when every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What
kind of
streaming online at WGXC.org. What tune in for a genre shakedown, all kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Had a lot of
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming.
Hi, this is Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable.
WGXC.
Can become a monthly
when?
Supporter.
Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What? Streaming online at WGXC.org.
We hope
what?
You will do so.
Tune in
thank
for
so
a genre
for
shakedown. All kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Had a lot of
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming.
Hi, this is Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable.
WGXC.
Can become a monthly
when?
Supporter.
Every first and third Tuesday from 12:10 to 2 p.m. What? Streaming online at WGXC.org.
We hope
what?
You will do so.
Tune in
thank
for
so
a genre
for
shakedown. All kinds of choice cuts of wax for you and yours to listen to. Dig it.
Had a lot of
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Greenville Drive-In 32, a destination for movies and music under the stars of the Northern Catskills since 1959. Seasonal programming.
Hi, this is Somi, and you're listening to WGXC Accra 90.7.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment.
Acre,
Wave Farms WGXC
FM.
Is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply
name.
About creative
Patty
community
Boom.
Radio. Their generosity and investment.
Final.
Acron. Bay Farms WGXC
is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh.
For Green and Columbia.
WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment.
Acre,
Bay Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Patty Community Boom. Radio. Their generosity and investment.
Acre,
Bay Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment.
Acre,
Bay Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Patty Community Boom. Radio. Their generosity and investment.
Acre,
Bay Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of John Sensabaugh. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment.
test. Hello?
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Y'all should come to the training.
Yes.
Yes, we will.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Put the pawn station back on. Okay, ready?
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. We greatly, deeply, sincerely, utterly apologize for all the technical difficulties. Thank you so much to Jen Cutler, Meredith, and Tom for helping us figure that out.
Bless you.
We are a twice a month movie talk show here on WGXC, where every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m. tonight, we're starting at 7:17 p.m. But before we get into our theme, so usually we always pick a theme for our show, watch movies around that theme, and then come on the airwaves to talk about them. We have a great theme tonight, and we have a really special surprise for you. But before we get into that, we are going to tell you again about the things that are playing in the theaters around us. I'm going to start off by telling you about what's playing in the Highway Drive-In. That's the drive-in off of... 9W. Wow. There's four screens and there's always a double feature. So we have Inside Out 2. We have A Quiet Place Day 1 and The Exorcism. The Bike Riders and Thelma. And Bad Boys Ride or Die and Tarot. You can find out more by going to highwaydrivein.com. That's HIWAY drivein.com.
All right, and I'm going to tell you about what's playing over at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. It's a lot, so I'm not going to list all of them this time. If you heard me somehow through the garbled broadcast, you may have heard them already. But we have Inside Out 2, and then a slew of Hollywood summer classics, including Jaws, Saturday Night Fever, Emma, The Big Lebowski, Dirty Dancing, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, etc. It looks incredibly fun. So if you're interested in any of those showtimes, or if you'd like to find out what other cool movies they have coming up this summer, you can head on over to crandalltheater.org.
Gorgeous. All right, I'm going to tell you again about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson. That's the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have The Exorcism, Thelma, Inside Out 2, Treasure, Bad Boys Ride or Die, The Watchers, The Garfield Movie. You can find out more by going to thespotlighttheaters.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop-down menu.
Incredible. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films locations, starting with the location in Rhinebeck, otherwise known as the Star Cinema. We have Thelma, Janet Planet, Kinds of Kindness, Art Talent Show, and Ghostlight. And then heading across the river to the Orpheum Theater in Saugerties, we have Taking Venice, Run Lola Run, Flipside, Despicable Me 4, Inside Out 2, Tuesday, and Ghostlight. And if you're interested in any of those shows or their show times, you can head on over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. All right, I'm going to tell you about the, again, to get excited all over again, the old new 3-screen theater on Fairview. So now it's been reopened and it's called Story Screen Cinema. And I'm very excited that it's reopened. Oh my gosh. Something just fell down. This building is haunted. We have Inside Out 2, In a Violent Nature, and Tuesday. And you can find out more about those showtimes and what's coming up next by going to storyscreenpresents.com.
All right, and my last theater to tell you about is TSL in Hudson, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. Movies this weekend, we have Shoeshine, Thelma, Rome Open City, Evil Does Not Exist, and I Saw the TV Glow. You can still go see it at TSL.
Oh, fun.
So if you're interested in any of those movies or their showtimes, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Incredible. I also have one last theater to tell you about.
Tell me.
It's the Greenville Drive-In.
Yay!
The lovely drive-in off of Route 32. And on June 28th and 29th, we have Dirty Dancing.
Amazing.
And you can find out more by going to drivein32.com.
Wow. There's all so right. much to see.
There is so much to see. And tonight, all right, so now we can get into our theme for tonight. So we have some very special guests with us here tonight. We have T and Hannah from CGAC, otherwise known as Columbia Green Addiction Coalition. Hi, guys. Can you hear us?
Hey, yes. Yes, I can.
Yes. Oh, my God. Amazing. Wow. Okay, we can hear you, too. Very exciting.
Yay.
So our theme tonight is movies, not just about drugs, but about stories of addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is an apropos theme because, I'm going to have you guys tell us a little bit about what you do.
Great. Hannah, you want to start with some history?
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves a history story. So Columbia Green Addiction Coalition, I'm the executive director there. CGAC was originally a task force. It began at the Columbia Memorial Hospital in 2012. And the initial focus at that time was on prevention initiatives and the overprescribing of pain medication, which, as we know, has ultimately led to the opioid crisis and subsequently the overdose crisis that we continue to face in our region today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in 2019, Columbia and Greene counties gained national attention. They were identified in wave one of a multi-state, multi-county study that was led by the National Institute for Health and Columbia University called the Healing Communities Study. We were part of that study. The goal was to reduce overdose death by 40%. But during that time, actually in 2021, Greene County hit its peak with overdoses. Oh, wow. And actually, so Greene County ranked number one in New York State outside of New York City, and out of 57 upstate New York counties for death involving heroin, and also ranked second out of those same 57 upstate New York counties for overdose death involving opioids. So a lot of national, a lot of attention on these unique counties. And because of, you know, the involvement with the Healing Communities study, a small group that I was involved in 2022 led the coalition to incorporation. And we subsequently have received $1.4 million in state and federal funding.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So that's a little history that I have.
Thanks, Anna. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that history, we're now focusing, like, I was recently hired to be the youth coordinator. So we're trying to kind of like bring many sectors of the community into the work and really bring like the prevention element in, while also incorporating harm reduction and resources for quitting as well. So we also coordinate outreach events where we distribute Narcan, fentanyl test strips, xylazine test strips. And we also will go into workplaces and train staff. We are trying to get Narcan in every bar and restaurant in Columbia and Greene County.
Incredible. Amazing. Oh my God.
Which is just smart because we're the, you know, we always want to have the tools that we need if we need them.
Yeah.
And then just like as another element of that, we recently provided like a ton of harm reduction supplies to Little Deb's Oasis for their All the Bodies party. Mm-hmm. We provided a bunch of fentanyl and xylazine test strips. And that's something that we provide. That's a service we provide for free. We're really just trying to get harm reduction supplies into the hands of the members of these counties where opioids are running rampant.
Yeah. I was just going to ask why, do you guys know why opioids are running rampant in these counties? Is it because we're very rural counties? Which would be my assumption. I'm from not far from here. Heroin and opioids are a big problem where I'm from as well. So I always assumed it's because it's a rural area, but can you speak more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. Rural communities face really difficult challenges when it comes to substance use and addiction. You know, specifically in Greene County, there are really high rates of overdose from just fentanyl alone. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, there's a large volume of overdose death that occurs in Columbia County that's fentanyl in combination with stimulants like cocaine and methamphetamine. So absolutely rural communities, you know, play a role in that. You know, lack of connection, lack of education, lack of transportation. You know, Greene County specifically has limited treatment providers, limited, you know, medical professionals. The Mountaintop region, it takes a really long time for EMS to get up there. So mm-hmm. the probability of dying on the mountaintop is actually much higher mm-hmm. than in like the seat of the county. So, or like in Catskill. Mm-hmm. But yes, there's just so many different factors that contribute to overdose. And then what we're looking at, especially in the Healing Community study, was the death, right? So when we're addressing this, right, it can't just be one organization, it can't just be public health, you know, it has to be a combination of factors, and communities play a huge role in that, right? Mm-hmm. So there is a lot of state funding now for community coalitions, because what they're finding is that sometimes taking a top-down approach doesn't work, mm-hmm. or not even that it doesn't work, but we need a combination of top-down, bottom-up, so that we're really just like addressing it together.
Right. Absolutely. I was just thinking about, like, you know, so we'll talk about movies soon, but thinking about the movies that we watch for this show and thinking about your work, I'm, I, you know, I am hoping, and I like to think that I'm seeing a change in my world where there's a more sympathetic attitude toward those struggling with addiction and it being seen more as a disease rather, or like something that we can all help with rather than something that we like makes a person undeserving of care. Do you find that you're seeing attitudes change, or do you find that you're like kind of coming up against people who feel like addicts don't deserve that kind of care or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both, right? There's definitely a lot of stigma. That's something that we're always trying to address. We do community education through Narcan trainings, but I always say that a big piece of these community education trainings are not just about teaching people how to use Narcan. It's about having a conversation about people who use drugs, and really understanding that, you know, addiction is not a moral failing. It's not a choice. It's a disease. And that good people use drugs. People we love use drugs. Mm-hmm. And we don't want them to die.
Yeah.
And we also want them to choose when they want the help that they need, right? So harm reduction philosophy meets people where they are, and it allows them to make the choice for when they want to get help, right? No one should be told, you know, you have to stop.
Yeah.
That's a choice. That's a very, very personal choice that you need to make on your own. And so if the choice is that you're going to continue to use hard substances, you know, use safely, right? Don't use alone.
Yeah.
There's a lot of resources out there. All of them are listed on our website. We really just want to support people and meet them where they're at.
Amazing. I mean, sorry, go ahead, T.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, you can see me now? Cool.
No. I just heard your little breath. Oh, a little breath. My little breath?
Oh my God, amazing. I was just going to add that I'm new to prevention work. I came from restaurant worlds, for those of you who don't know who I am. And I'm also a trans person. So coming at prevention work from a trans perspective has been very interesting, because prevention work comes from a very human-centered language, mm-hmm. and that language is very important. Sometimes it feels like a little bit extra to juggle in your head, and it doesn't feel like you need to work that you should have to work that hard. And then it's like, but actually language is really important. And so that's just been a fun or interesting thing that I've noticed.
Yeah.
And I forget the other thing I was going to say. So let's move on.
we're learning together, T. So I'm learning, you know, so much about, you know, gender, pronouns, and just, you know, really being, you know, validating that, and T's also learning all this harm reduction, right, language, which they really do go hand in hand.
There is the beauty of community, right? Yeah. that exchange where we're constantly teaching each other and caring for each other. That's beautiful.
And I actually remember the other thing I was going to say, which was speaking about our rural communities, and Hannah was speaking to like the seat of the county getting the most resources. Now that's Hudson and Catskill, right?
Yeah.
Another thing that we're really focusing on is making sure that resources are available to the other parts of those counties.
Right.
And so like as the youth coordinator, like, I could be working with Kite's Nest. Yeah, I could be working with Perfect 10. I'm thinking of like after school programs that exist in Hudson.
Yeah.
But instead I'm going to try and create or, encourage those programs in the more rural communities higher up on the mountain to get more education there. And then the other thing I just want to add is like, along with Narcan in every bar and restaurant, we're really conceiving of Narcan as a fire extinguisher, where mm-hmm. it should be in your home for emergencies.
Right.
Even if you don't think your house is on fire, someone could set fire to you.
Exactly.
And especially in our rural communities, when it takes longer for an ambulance to get to the home, having Narcan in your house is going to save somebody's life.
Right. Yeah. Amazing. Wow. This is incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys are doing really amazing work.
Thank you so much for the work you're doing. Yeah. Absolutely. And I love to, Hannah, what you're saying about allowing people to come to safe use and recovery on their own. I think that we can see from a lot of the movies that we've watched, a lot of the stories that portray people struggling with addiction, or if you've ever known and loved somebody who is a heavy user or dealing with addiction, they are the only person that can make that choice. And it's
absolutely
knowing that is a huge first step in figuring out how to support them. So, wow. Thank you guys so much for doing this amazing work. This is awesome.
Thank you for letting us talk about it.
Yeah. Oh my God, of course. Okay, do you guys want to talk about some movies?
I'd love to.
Okay, great. Well, okay, so I actually, something you said early on made me think of a movie that I watched. So Jenny and I always try to watch movies we've never seen, right? So I watched Drugstore Cowboy. We both watched Drugstore Cowboy.
Yep.
Yeah, the Gus Van Sant movie from 1989, but it's set in the 70s.
71, yeah.
71, starring Matt Dillon and, oh my God, why can't Kelly Lynch?
Mm-hmm.
And a little, oh my God.
Heather Graham.
Everyone's favorite at that time. But, you know, so earlier today, Jenny and I were talking about the end of that movie. So for those of you listening, we are going to spoil some movies. I'm so sorry. This movie's from 1989. It's not a big deal. Just go watch it. It's streaming for free on Tubi right now, so go for it. But Matt Dillon's character, they're all, well, he leads a gang of folks who break into pharmacies to steal any like dope adjacent drug. And he, toward the end of the movie, decides to go get clean. He and his longtime girlfriend and wife part ways because she just doesn't see any future in which she'll ever stop. Mm-hmm. So that alone is a very like sad part of the movie. But anyways, he ends up getting shot toward the end of the movie, and he's on his way to the hospital in an ambulance. And we hear his inner monologue of him talking about not being afraid of anything anymore, and the irony of being, he earlier in the movie tries to rob a hospital to get all the drugs, and the irony of him now being taken to the hospital. And it made me think of what you were saying earlier about the initial opioid crisis, being like a lot of it being started by prescription painkillers.
Right.
So Jenny and I were saying, what kind of ending is this? It's kind of wonderfully open-ended. Is it a horribly tragic ending because he's worked hard to get clean and now he's going to undoubtedly be put on morphine in the hospital?
Right.
Yeah. Or is it kind of an uplifting, open-ended ending?
Yeah.
But that initial thing.
That's a great question. I think probably was intended for us to feel that way, you know, like it could go either way and hope for the best, but it is the 70s, so they're probably just going to be pumping that guy full of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely read it. We were talking about it because I definitely read it as bleak, kind of like,
yeah,
there's okay. The other movie that we watched had a much sadder ending, but this, I felt it didn't feel very I don't know. I think, but now having talked about it with you more, the more I do see the kind of like open-endedness of like, you know, we don't know what's going to happen next with him. Like he made the choice once, he could make the choice again. Like we don't know what his future holds, but Drugstore Cowboy was like very good and very sad.
I know. Well, so we talked about that too, earlier, how like I enjoy these kinds of stories, but no matter what, they are extremely, extremely bleak. And so Jenny was saying, like, they enjoy them less because it seems like you know how it's going to end, right?
Right,
and
right.
What do you guys think about that kind of arc that we expect from these kind of stories?
I mean, that speaks to stigma, right? It speaks to that, like, somebody's going to, like, they're going to relapse again. And, I mean, recovery is possible and hopeful, and I mean, I don't know, I like to think that that's not gonna happen, but you're right, absolutely. I thought the same thing when I watched.
Right, well, like I guess I appreciate the realism of, let's say, a sad ending, but also it's true, it does speak to stigma. And like, what are there any movies that you guys watched or can think of that turn that on its head and actually do actually tell us a story of recovery? Because we watch two that do not.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't go ahead, Hannah.
I mean, so there is a movie called 28 Days with Sandra Bullock. Have any of you seen that?
No. I've never seen it, but I remember when it came out.
So that's a really beautiful story of recovery. That, you know, I don't think I can go into really great detail about, but I do, it does have a, I would say, a happy ending. Mm-hmm. T and I also just watched Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell, which is just such a heartbreaking and tragic movie, but had the same ending in the sense that Timothy Chalamet, you know, at the end, you're unsure, like, which road is he going to take? Right.
Yeah.
So,
but he doesn't die. And I feel like that's a big step. Like, there is absolutely like nobody dies in that movie. Nobody dies in that movie.
That's like
somebody overdoses, but is saved. Yeah. So that's like breaking a stigma in a way, right? Like, to just not die. And then I know this isn't a movie, but you guys watch BoJack Horseman?
Yeah. So absolutely. You mentioned that earlier via text, and that is an excellent story about addiction.
I agree. And like, I even before I was in prevention work, I was obsessed with this show. But I think what's really special about that narrative, what's really different about that narrative, is that you see the whole process. You see plenty of relapses. You see that plenty of people in his life want him to go into recovery, and he can't until he is ready.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the really realistic part of that, as well as the fact that they examined the generational trauma that led to his substance. So the thing that I think is so cool about that show, and spoilers again, for BoJack Horseman, but you should watch it, is that it would just be impossible to watch if it wasn't leading to recovery.
Right.
Like, if you were just watching this shitty dude, like, spiral, it would be an that's not a good show. Right. So, like, it's not unrealistic. He goes to rehab, he relapses. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that's really cool about that show, in my opinion, in its depiction of use, is that it's a cartoon.
Yeah.
So we don't have to just use our faces and our acting to show what it's like to be under the influence. Right. Like, they really like blackouts in this really interesting way, and like alternate reality. And like, it really feels like alternate reality, you know?
Yeah.
So I really think that that show does a great job, while it is also a cartoon and a comedy. So obviously, like, everything is not realistic. These are horse humans, which I actually think is part of why I think the genius of the show, like, it could really only get this narrative through a cartoon, through like non-humans. So,
no, you bring up a fantastic point with that too. I actually had a question written down about movies that accurately portray what it's like to be on this or that drug. But yeah, you really, by having a cartoon, you remove a lot of limitations what you can actually accurately portray. But it doesn't make watching it feel any less visceral or realistic, because the story is human and recognizable enough. That's an excellent example. I like, the only movies I can think of that have done accurate like drug depictions or ones that involve like, you know, just hallucinogens, which is a different story. The other movie that we watched is, I don't know if you guys did too, we watched The Panic in Needle Park.
Did our best.
We did our best.
It's a rough one.
Yeah.
Also, my subtitles weren't working and the sound quality wasn't great because it's old. So it's more like this kind of thing, but
And that is also 1971.
Which is what I thought was interesting, because I watched them back to back. Because Drugstore Cowboy takes place in 1971 and The Panic in Needle Park was made in 1971. And I was like, oh, there's something here with like this particular inflection point.
Yeah. So for those of you listening, The Panic in Needle Park, like we said, from 1971, and it's Al Pacino's first big screen role.
Yeah.
It's adapted from a book, and the screenplay is actually by Joan Didion and her husband, he's like Griffin Dunn's dad.
Douglas Dunn or something?
Yeah. Yeah. Something pretty like cool. That. Like, there's a lot of cool people involved. And the lead actress is Kitty Wynn, who didn't really go on to do much. She was in The Exorcist as like the assistant to the mom movie star, but she, Al Pacino and Kitty Wynn play Bobby and Helen, who Bobby is a heroin dealer and heroin addict. When they meet, Helen does not use heroin when they meet, but they fall in love and start dating. Bobby is like very animated and charming at first. Well, you know, he continues to be, but he, when they first start dating, he describes his heroin use as chipping, like casual, like non, like it, implying that he's not addicted. Yeah, non-habitual. And we basically just watch what is a fight between the power of love versus the power of addiction. And eventually Helen does start using, and that's a really crushing scene when Bobby realizes that she is and says, oh, when did that happen? Like, that's a very brutal scene. But a similarly open-ended ending where, spoiler alert, Helen is so very deep in addiction at this point that she gives up Bobby to the police and he goes to prison. And when he gets out, so he's been clean in prison, we're assuming, because he can't use there. And he gets out and Helen is waiting for him and they walk off together as the movie ends. So thus we don't know if it's going to restart the same cycle. Maybe if you're a super sweetheart, you might think that they're going to be fine. Yeah. but yeah, I guess so. Thinking about all of these, like, so in opposition to BoJack Horseman, where you're saying, T, how it kind of feels easier to watch because it's, I mean, I guess you don't really know until you see the ending, but it's you're watching a long, slow road to recovery rather than a long, slow downward slide into something worse. And yeah, like, so what was the question I was trying to formulate? Just like, I had a question written down about the responsibility of filmmakers or at like in telling these kinds of stories. There's probably a need for more stories where we see recovery, right?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. Because, you know, in those questions that you had sent to us, we couldn't think of any narratives that use any, like, explicit harm reduction besides destigmatizing drug use at all, right? Yeah. Like, which is, like, telling the story at all is good, and that is destigmatizing, and that is harm reduction. But outside of that, we need more stories. I think it's that's part of the responsibility. I mean, the other piece of the responsibility too, which, you know, is definitely more of a more modern, definitely post 71 concept, which is the, like, nothing without about us without us, which, like, if you're doing a narrative about drug use, like, somebody who has been personally affected by it needs to be a part of that storytelling.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's very clear from both of those movies that, like, that didn't happen. I can't really speak to that, obviously. But at least with the Panic in Needle Park, I mean, there's a lot of stigmatizing language, even just in the title of the film, like, that there's panic in Needle Park when there's no drugs there because the people who are there are only using drugs and that's the only thing that they care about.
Right.
But there's also, in the two movies that we watched, I was just thinking about, there's a few, like, really accurate and informative things as well. If you think about Heather Graham, her OD, she was using alone, which is a high risk factor for overdosing. And it seemed for me, from Matt Dillon's response, that she took a huge dosage, which is also another huge risk factor, which just brings up for me the idea of, like, what is an OD and what is a suicide attempt?
Yeah, they seem to imply that maybe, like, at one point in the movie, he seems to kind of imply that she was maybe just, like, trying to...
Fuck. Yeah. And I think that that's a huge piece of destigmatizing drug use, is that a lot of drug use is a mental health coping mechanism. And it's like, that's like, people don't just start using drugs for no reason. There's always a reason, and it's usually a good reason.
Right.
Whatever that reason is, it's at least a good enough reason to them. And it could be just that your boyfriend who you love is using. That's a good reason, you know?
Yeah. I know. We begin that movie, too, where Helen's character has just gotten an abortion and she's been kind of left by her boyfriend. You get the idea that, I mean, yeah, she does not have her own place to live. Right. So she is relying on other people, and she's primarily relied on relationships for a place to feel safe and to stay. And I do, I believe that she and Bobby do really love each other, but it's, yeah, those stressors of that environment and being poor in that environment is clearly, I mean, that's, I was actually listening to a podcast about Panic in Needle Park after I watched it, and they were talking about how they're like, yeah, it's post-60s. Like, it's not rich hippies anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking about people who are addicted to drugs and they don't have any money.
Yeah.
So, like, you're getting into... and there isn't safe use services. There's nothing like that. So you're only getting deeper into desperate situations. It's hard to say, because I don't work in your field, and I've been fortunate enough to be outside of a lot of situations like that. But I did find parts of Panic in Needle Park very like sympathetic and humanizing. Mm-hmm. But it is a dark story. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, it's a really beautifully made movie, which I think really like does a lot for it. And it's, and the performances by Al Pacino and Kitty Wynn are both like so lovely and so captivating. Like, they both are such, like, they seem so very sweet and they're so trapped by what's happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
That does. I mean, I think that does a lot for it, but it is, you're right. Like, there is something very, like, there are a lot of really close-up shots of using that are like very hard to watch, and I found that to be like, I found it very interesting to kind of, it almost has like a documentary feel.
I wonder if that was even its intention in its time of release. Sorry.
Totally.
Which does make me feel like there was a empathetic lens to the story, right? Like, if we're able to empathize with these characters, to be able to see their humanity, that's, you know, attributed to both the story writing and the perspective.
Absolutely.
But also, like, that other responsibility that filmmakers have is to also be accurate in their depictions.
Right.
I'm just going back to the original prompt, which, like, just thinking about, like, the scene in Pulp Fiction we were discussing.
Yes.
We all know that's first of all, that's not naloxone or Narcan, which, to be clear, naloxone and Narcan are the same thing. Narcan is the brand.
That's really good to know.
So naloxone is the actual product, medication. And Narcan is the brand of it. So it's not that. Apparently it's adrenaline shot directly into her heart, and like heart, that.
Yeah.
So not
yeah.
Like
I know.
It's not. Yeah.
There's
nothing worse.
Oh my God. We're talking about like maybe movies that might have scenes of like harm reduction uses. That's the only thing that popped into my head. I'm like, that's not it. That can't be it.
It's not accurate. So like that, like Quentin Tarantino, I mean, obviously, but like we should talk, you know,
I know.
Like, very irresponsible.
That rascal.
In preparation for this as well, there were a few moments in watching these movies. I also watched The Man with the Golden Arm. I don't know if you guys watched it.
We did not end up having time.
Don't worry about it. It was really weird. Weird. So just for the listeners out there, Man with the Golden Arm is, 1950s?
55,
Frank Sinatra
stars as a man who used to be addicted to heroin and then goes to prison and is clean and gets out of prison. And spoiler alert, his life isn't going great. So he starts using drugs again. And then at the end, his wife is going to prison. Oh. So in watching that, I did notice a chronology of that being kind of like the first mainstream depiction of drug use.
Yeah.
And then moving on to Panic in Needle Park, moving on to Drugstore Cowboy, moving on to Beautiful Boy, the movie starring Steve Carell that we were speaking of earlier. Like, when you look at that chronology, like, the lens has changed.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We are we are seeing portrayals of drug use that are much more nuanced and much more accurate. But in watching those films, there were two moments, one in The Man with the Golden Arm and then the other in Beautiful Boy, in which these people who had been addicted in the past were sober and then choose to use again and survive that use. Mm-hmm. And to me, I was, with the knowledge that I have now, I was expecting both of them to overdose. Mm-hmm. Because when you have built up that tolerance and then it goes away, it's the likelihood of you overdosing on the next time you use is super high.
Yeah.
So that to me is a moment of, that is itself a miscommunication. You know, like that is inaccurate information that these people are, that I'm seeing two people surviving that.
And that does truly feel like a moment of irresponsibility, right? Mm-hmm. In telling that story.
Exactly.
You know, we can never, it's never safe to like pin movies on like influencing people's actions.
Right,
but
totally.
It's still, if you're trying to portray the realness of that kind of story, you do have to, you have the responsibility of involving that too.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good point, like showing that whole timeline mm-hmm. of these selected movies.
That's a really interesting way to go about this. Yeah, I watched the first like 15-20 minutes of The Man with the Golden Arm and then didn't have time to finish it. But I like, the thing that seems interesting about it to me is like the historical document of it, you know, of with it yes. being a movie from the 50s that has like very depicts drug use very like on its surface with no kind of, you know, subterfuge.
Yes.
But like beyond that, I was kind of like, I'll watch this someday.
We are slowly running out of time. So I want to pivot. I want to ask you guys really quick, cause I don't know. There's fentanyl, you have free fentanyl tests, but what's the other drug that has been, I'm starting to see that name more. It starts with an X.
It starts with an X. Xylazine. Yes.
Xylazine.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about xylazine? Because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. So xylazine is an animal horse tranquilizer. And it's typically cut into fentanyl. Mm-hmm. It increases sedation. So if someone uses it, they could be, you know, passed out for really long period of time, several hours. Another really scary thing about xylazine is that it can cause like lesions on your body. And that's not from injecting it. That's from just like from using it, right? Like mm-hmm. even if you were to snort it, right? Mm-hmm. You could have lesions on your body. So yeah, that's being found a lot in fentanyl now.
Okay, well, good to know. I just saw that word for the first time, and I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, I only heard of it when I first started working here as well, and a lot of people in our Narcan training say the same thing. But the other really scary thing about xylazine is that it is not an opioid. It is it's a benzo. So what that means is that Narcan does not reverse its effects.
Oh, right.
Because Narcan is specifically displacing your opioid receptors. Mm-hmm. And so if you are having an overdose from xylazine, Narcan won't help you. What will help you is rescue breathing or mouth to mouth.
Yeah. Typically though, someone, unless they have, you know, taken xylazine on its own, typically, you know, using Narcan for an overdose, even if xylazine is present, is always recommended, right? Because of what T just said, Narcan reverses an opioid overdose, but if xylazine is present, if it's not going to work if it's just xylazine, but you still want to use it.
Thank you for clarifying that, Hannah. Yeah. Because the other thing, if we're going to do a little bit of takeaways about Narcan, is that it does no harm. You can use it on pregnant people. You can use it on children. You can use it on somebody who's actually having a heart attack, and it won't do any harm. The only thing that it does is displace your opioid receptors, which means if somebody is very addicted and wakes up from their opioid overdose with Narcan, they will be immediately in withdrawal will immediately want to use again, but their drugs won't be effective for the 30 to 90 minutes that the Narcan is in their system.
Right.
So those are, so it does no harm, but that can, but the withdrawal symptoms can be immediate. And I feel like those are two things that I learned recently when I felt like I knew something about Narcan.
It's also short acting, right? So it's not going to stay in your system for a very long time, mm-hmm. right? So like you have what, 30 to 90 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And you can actually, depending on how much opioids are in your system, you can actually go into an overdose again, wow. right? So it's really important that someone does seek medical attention because you could have another overdose.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Two really quick questions before we go. If you're an individual, where can you go to get free Narcan? And then do you guys have like a brick and mortar, an office that people can visit?
Yeah, so we do not have a brick and mortar, but we're a coalition, and a coalition really relies on its partners. And we have a lot of really great partners on both sides of the river who offer space for us. If someone is looking for harm reduction supplies, our website is frequently updated. My recommendation is to go to a place nearest to you. So if you're in Catskill, you know, you've got public health, you've got mental health association, youth clubhouses. If you're in Columbia County, you know, there's Columbia County Pathways to Recovery. There's Columbia County Department of Health. You can always reach out to us as well. But I just always like to say that there are a number of organizations in both communities who support people who want to make safe choices. So, check out our website, www.c-gac.org. And on the harm reduction page, we've got a list of all of the places you can get supplies, including...